The annual defense authorization bill Congress passed last week contains several measures that'll shake up the Pentagon's organizational chart. For instance, it creates a new dedicated chief management officer who the defense secretary will have to recruit from the private sector. Lawmakers hope the new position will help drive efficiencies into DOD headquarters elements. Robert Hale is a former DOD comptroller and chief financial officer, now a fellow at Booz Allen Hamilton. He spoke with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu about those changes and whether they're likely to make a real impact.
Well, first, the new position doesn't go into effect until February 2018, so there is a year for tweaking or potential changes. But as it stands now, the new CMO would be, it appears, a senior position. Importantly, the law gives the CMO authority to direct actions by the secretaries of the military departments. That's certainly something the DCMO doesn't have at the moment. And wide-ranging authority to look at business processes in the department. All that said, I still think the key to the success for the new CMO will be a close working relationship with the deputy secretary. Deputy Secretary has wide-ranging powers, close access, obviously, to the Secretary, and authority that comes from deciding a lot of different issues at the department. So I think if the CMO wants to get big things done, he or she needs to work closely with the deputy and establish a working relationship with them so that the deputy will be behind the actions.
And I think part of the reasoning behind the creation of the DCMO in the first place was to take a lot of these more routine management functions off of the deputy's plate, which sort of seems to be the same idea here. Now that that position is being elevated within the department, might it free up the deputy to focus on some other things? Since, as you indicated, his portfolio is basically the secretary's portfolio.
Yes. I mean, I'm not sure. I think what the new position will do will mean that there's another senior person who's devoted to these activities. Right now, the deputy tries to do them, but frankly, there's just not enough time. I remember John Hammer, who was Deputy Secretary of Defense years ago, said his inbox increased a foot an hour. So the deputy has so many things on his plate. Now there will be somebody who's only really focusing on business processes. The CMO will still need the deputy's authority, but he or she'll have the time to try to make these things happen. And I think that'll be the major change, less taking work away from the deputy, more just having that work actually getting done.
Another interesting aspect of the bill was there was an explicit requirement that this be somebody who has managed a large private sector organization and hasn't been in DOD for a while. So it's more than likely going to be somebody who doesn't have a lot of defense experience, or at least recent defense experience. Any obvious pluses or minuses to that?
That would worry me. I think this individual needs to, the private sector experience would be great, but I think the person needs to have some familiarity with the Department of Defense. It's just too steep a learning curve. It's too big an organization, too complex. Come in with no experience and expect to lead major change. So I hope that they can find somebody who has both some experience in defense as well as leading large private organizations.
A lot of the focus of the CMO, I'm sure, is going to be on finding ways to drive cost out of the department, which is the focus of the paper that you just wrote that we're going to talk about a little bit more in a minute. Maybe we can set that up a little bit by talking about some of the history of the cost savings that actually were achieved under your watch and during the Obama administration within DOD, just sort of as evidence that this can happen, even if it's not on the scale of some of the bigger numbers that we've seen recently.
Yes, I mean, it can happen. It has happened in past administrations. It happened in the Obama administration. I'll give you just a couple examples. The paper that I published last week has more, but for example, the Obama administration changed the copays for pharmaceuticals in ways that increased incentives to use generics and mail order, and Congress then went one step further and mandated the use of mail order for retiree and dependent pharmaceuticals, which saved the department a lot of money. The DOD abolished the Joint Forces Command, a combatant commander. They felt that they could accomplish the same goals with other organizations and at less cost. Did a lot of what's called strategic sourcing, grouping together buys of similar items so that they can leverage their market power. Defense Health Agency did this, for example, with healthcare thing, logistic needs for the health agencies. So there are a lot of those kinds of changes. Those are examples of some successful ones.
Probably adding up, I think you say in the paper, to somewhere in the neighborhood of about $5 billion a year. Am I reading that right?
I think so. I mean, I'm focusing in that paper on business reforms, and by that I mean changes in business practices that provide the same support to the warfighter but save money, as opposed mm-hmm. to eliminating lower priority programs. Yeah, I think at least $5 billion. It's hard with the resources I had to really get a precise number, but it'd be at least $5 billion. And those savings will continue in perpetuity, so they add up. But I think in my experience, when you're looking at business reforms that as opposed to getting rid of lower priority programs, when you're looking at business reforms, savings tend to be in the billions, not in the tens of billions a year. And I think that's relevant to the recent study by the Defense Business Board, which suggested much higher savings.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We should bring it up since it's gotten so much attention over the last week. And in fact, a group of members of Congress have just sent a letter to DOD asking for answers on why the recommendations that DBB made don't seem to have been implemented. Their number is $125 billion that could be driven out of the department over the course of 5 years. Talk about the realism of that number, if you could.
Well, I, in my experience, as I just said, business practice reforms tend to save billions a year, not tens of billions. Billions of a year is a lot of money, but it's not tens. I think it's unrealistic to think you're going to get $20, $30 billion worth of savings through realistic changes in business practices. And especially in the case of the Defense Business Board study, a lot of things in life are 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. I think that Defense Business Board study gave some good ideas for the 1% of the inspiration. It didn't do a lot to help the department actually figure out how to implement them during the 99% phase. And there wasn't a lot of linkage. So I think the 125 is unrealistic.
I think maybe one of the useful things that the report did is it actually put a number on what they called basically back office spending or infrastructure spending, if that's the preferred term, mm-hmm. that the department spends every year. I think their figure was $134 billion, which at least gives you a baseline, which you can begin attacking. I wonder if that number feels right to you, if you had seen a number like that during your time as comptroller?
Given what they defined it as and what I could tell I saw their study, which is a briefing, but there's a fair amount of detail on those back office numbers. I can't say it's exactly right, but it doesn't seem crazy. It's 20, 25%. And then they're including a wide range of activities, logistics, finance, all the healthcare activities. That's probably far more than a private company would do in terms of healthcare, for example, or logistics for that matter. So, yeah, I don't think it is unrealistic. And I agree with you. It's helpful to quantify those numbers. And another thing I think the study did that was helpful is it tried to give ideas. It didn't link them to the $125 billion, which is a problem, but it did try to give ideas of ways to look for business process reengineering, for example, and delayering of personnel, IT consolidation, especially data center consolidation. Had a number of ideas that are helpful on the 1% inspiration side.
That's Robert Hale, former DOD comptroller and chief financial officer, talking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu. You can find all of our coverage of the changes Congress made in this year's NDAA. Check it out, federalnewsradio.com.